Do I recall that you had a conspicuous experience on what happens in summer recess, where you, this would have been prior to your service on the Supreme Court, I believe, didn't you go to, or what am I thinking about, to New Hampshire?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about, what is the story on that?
Well, it goes back to when I was in the Senate from 1958 to 1965, when I was elected to the Court of Appeals. And it was the famous one-man, one-vote case, now called one-person, one-vote case. Scholl versus Hare, Gus Scholl versus Secretary of State, saying that the state of Michigan was malapportioned. And that while the House of Representatives was apportioned right, the Senate was all out of commission. Senatorial districts were there was no rhyme or reason to the size of them, either geographically population. And I was one of three senators. There were who intervened on behalf of the Senate in the case of Scholl versus Hare. And the case was had been through the Michigan Supreme Court, in which it was said that it was malapportioned. It's gone up to the U.S. Supreme Court under the federal constitution. And it began to look like the U.S. Supreme Court would also say that Michigan was malapportioned, and it had to be done on a much more scientific basis. There were three Republican senators, Senator Beadle, who was the majority leader in the Senate, Senator Younger from here in Lansing, and myself coming from Grand Ledge. And I guess probably one of the reasons that Senator Younger and I were on it was because we were right around Lansing all the time. And Senator Beadle is the sort of head of the Republican senators. So we intervened, and if you read the actual report of Scholl versus Hare in the books, it will say August Scholl versus James Hare, and underneath intervening parties, John W. Fitzgerald, Paul Younger, and Frank Beadle. And the U.S. Supreme Court had the matter before it, and it looked as though the election for senator in the state of Michigan was going to be at large. In other words, there were at that time 34, I believe, Senate seats. And if you were going to run for the Senate, you ran as a senator over the entire state of Michigan. Well, even the greatest advocates of one person, one vote didn't advocate that. So in order to avoid this, this had been the court's decision that you run at large. We went, the three of us, with our attorney, who was then Whitney North Seymour from New York City, who had been hired, frankly, by the Republican Party, at a very he really believed in what he was doing, very nominal sum. And we went to Littleton, New Hampshire, where Justice Potter Stewart spent summers and presented the case for a stay, which would permit running in our old districts for one more election until things could be straightened out. And Justice Stewart granted a stay, which meant that at the primary in August and in the general election in November, the Michigan Senate districts would remain the same as they were.
That was 1964, was it?
That was in 1964, yes.
And this was an individual act by Justice Stewart.
Yes, he issued a stay, which they may do. Then, when the court reconvenes, it's considered by the entire court.
Wow. But in Michigan, there is no analogous...
No analogous situation where one justice may act. At least within recent history, where one justice can issue a stay pending a get-together of the entire court to decide what the vote is on making it a permanent stay or dissolving it. There's no analogous situation.